We're talking with Raya Salter, who is an attorney. She's the policy director for the New York Renews Climate Justice Coalition. And we invited her on because she's also a member of the New York State Climate Action Council, the 22-member council that was set up by the new climate law, CLCPA, a couple of years ago to sort of guide New York State in developing a plan for climate action. So, Rye, do you want to give us sort of a brief introduction as to, you know, why you are a member of the State Climate Action Council?
Sure. Thank you so much for that introduction. Thank you to everybody listening. I'm always happy to talk about the leadership that New York State is taking on climate action and my role in it. So, yes. I am very pleased and honored to be a member of the New York State Climate Action Council as an appointee. I was appointed by leader Andrea Stewart Cousins pursuant to the CLCPA, which requires in the statute that there be a certain number of appointees from the governor, certain number from other folks. So that is how I landed up there. And I also like to think that it's also because of my extensive background as an energy and environmental attorney. I've been doing this work for several years in private practice and with advocacy organizations. A lot of experience in advocating for renewable energy policy, grid innovation, as well as a focus on justice. I wrote a book called Energy Justice that was released in 2018. So my focus on the Climate Action Council is really how can we meet our climate goals in a just and equitable way with a real focus on women, children, families, businesses. What is this going to mean for all of us in our everyday lives?
I guess one of the main charges of the council is to develop a climate action plan to help guide the state on its future climate activities. I believe by the next governor's term, 2023, is supposed to be in place. How is that process going at the moment? How can people participate in it? And how binding actually is the plan? Is it more like law, or is it more like, you know, recommendations to the state government?
That's a great question. I really encourage folks to get involved. Hopefully there's some links that I can share afterwards, but you can go on the website. You can sign up for updates, and all of the meetings of the Climate Action Council are public, as are most of the meetings of the advisory body. So, and there's so many things to be interested in, be it power generation, energy efficiency, agriculture, waste. If you have an interest in this area, you can literally just join us virtually, peep in, take a look at what we're doing. I truly encourage everyone to do that because this has to be a public engagement process if we're actually going to have a meaningful transition to clean energy and carbon reduction throughout our entire economy. And yes, this Climate Action Council intervention is more than a let's write a plan and put it on the shelf. Per the statute, the plan will be presented to the governor and the legislature and turned into regulation. So this is an intervention that is intended for the public and other stakeholders to have an opportunity to shape how we get to our goals.
Now, we asked you to come on today to speak, you know, as a member of the Climate Action Council and not per se as a staff person for New York Renews. But I know that New York Renews and others have recently put out a report concerning what they view as some of the false solutions that at least the Cuomo administration seem to be embracing, such as promotion of renewable gas and various sort of carbon capture, biomass type of things. You know, how does the, you know, council grapple when that type of report is presented? Because the governor has, you know, largely 13 of the votes, and then the other, you know, 9 votes are divided among a couple of environmentalists, a couple of, you know, climate scientists, a couple of fossil fuel people, and a couple of renewable energy. How have they, respond to some of the pushback from some climate activists that some of these ideas being presented really doesn't meet what we would view as a clean, renewable energy scenario?
Look, this is my position, is that the state must follow the law, the letter of the law of the CLCPA, which is now law and demands that we get to 70% renewable energy by 2030 and 100 by 2040. And things that, like, quote unquote, renewable natural gas, in my view, do not meet the letter of the law in terms of what is clean energy. It should not surprise anyone that industries that are deeply invested in fossil fuels are existentially upset and worried about these new goals, and that are going to characterize the same type of old solutions as innovation, new investments, things that are necessary for reliability, things that are necessary to keep costs down. Those narratives aren't true. And we're going to push to make sure that our state follows the law.
Now, I will quickly mention that the goals you articulated, you know, like the goal 100% renewable energy by 2040, that's for the electricity sector. Right. And not for other necessarily transportation or buildings. What right. do you see as some of the greatest challenges the state will have and meet in, you know, it's fairly ambitious goals for climate action?
There are a lot of challenges. And I will emphasize that tackling these challenges, was it James Baldwin says that not every, you know, we're about to get a James Baldwin quote wrong. This is not good. Not every problem can be, you know, not every obstacle can be overcome, but you can overcome it until you face it. And not only are we facing these issues that are, you know, the world needs to solve by tackling this plan, but their advantages of doing so far outweigh the benefits of putting our heads in the sand for a number of reasons. One, we taking leadership means we are getting ready for a transformation that's going to be led now from the federal government and also internationally. We are getting ready for a transformation that is going to benefit our economy. It's going to benefit our people, our businesses. And because of the CLCPA, we're going to do it in a way that focuses on equity and justice and doesn't leave folks behind. The benefits of tackling the problems far outweigh the dangers of not only not getting ready, but ignoring climate crisis and ending up with terrible situations like the utilities in, say, California and Texas are facing.
In some ways, one of the major accomplishments of the CLCPA, and I would also say a major accomplishment of New York Renews, was really elevating the concept that 40% of, you know, climate funding should be dedicated to, you know, the communities that have been most negatively impacted. That was unfortunately tweaked a little bit by the governor before it was passed, but even President Biden has now sort of adopted it. You know, here in the Capital District, you know, like happened in New York City with Sunset Park, we just got $200 million to invest in the Port of Albany for wind towers. You know, if you're trying to get 35 to 40% of that $200 million, $70, $80 million to go to what's called disadvantaged communities, what guidance or decisions has the CAC been able to make yet? How does that actually, you know, translate? How do you define what is a benefit and how do you define what is a disadvantaged community?
So what is very important is that the statute, again, put a big piece of developing that exact criteria, who is a disadvantaged community and what is benefit, in the hands of a climate justice working group. That working group is made up of environmental justice leaders, others, and again, designed so that there is a way for stakeholder input in some of these crucial definitions. So Climate Justice Working Group is plugging along. We expect some recommendations to come out from them this year. And until then, the state is, I think, really doing what we're beginning to do, and what I know I and others have been urging them to do, is to get their arms around this exact question, because there are answers to how to get your arms around it. What they really need to do is start getting their arms around, how have we been doing the spending before? How have we been looking at quote unquote disadvantaged communities? And I think a lot of it has fallen under the bucket of LMI, you know, low and moderate income customers. And I think that is a starting place, but it is insufficient. And so the state is starting to grapple with it. We are encouraging.
Raya, unfortunately, we're out of time. We've been talking with Raya Salter, New York State Climate Action Council, New York Renews. You have a website.
And my website is www.ryasalter.com.
And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.